to the Old Time Radio Hour. I'm your host, Justine Ward, and each week we bring you a classic show from radio's golden age. This week we continue our holiday theme with some Christmas music and comedy. The Railroad Hour was a high-quality musical show that began as an hour, but by the time of this broadcast was a half-hour show. In this episode, musical director Carmen Dragon will thrill you with wonderful arrangements of some favorite Christmas carols and also a short musical with words set to Tchaikovsky's beloved Nutcracker Suite. After that, we have two comedy segments from The Bickersons and Vic and Sade. Here is the Railroad Hour, Christmas Songs and Nutcracker, first broadcast December 25th, 1950, on NBC.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Railroad Hour. And here comes our star-studded show train. Tonight, the Association of American Railroads invites you to a special Railroad Hour Christmas party, starring Gordon McRae, his guest star Lucille Norman, and the entire company. Our choir is under the direction of Norman Luboff, and the music is prepared and conducted by Carmen Dragon. Portions of this celebration were especially transcribed for this festive occasion and brought to you by the American Railroads, the same railroads that bring you most of the food you eat, the clothes you wear, the fuel you burn, and all the other things you use in your daily life. And now, here is our star, Gordon McRae.
Thank you, Marvin Miller, and happy Christmas, everybody. Isn't Christmas night a wonderful time? There's a warm glow inside of you that only happens once a year, on this particular night. You can almost feel everybody taking off shoes and loosening belts coast to coast. The kids are exhausted from playing with their hop-along Cassidy pistols and their electric trains, and the adults are exhausted from playing with their hop-along Cassidy pistols and electric trains. And here in our studio, there's a big treat for our Railroad Hour family. Lucille, Carmen, Norman, and all of us who make music together on the Railroad Hour throughout the year. So, folks, won't you join us? Lovely Lucille Norman to join our Railroad Hour Christmas party. Lucille with Christmas tree stars in her beautiful little eye.
It's been a wonderful day, Gordon. And it's so nice to be celebrating Christmas with all of you.
What's your holiday wish, Lucy?
Well, it's a special prayer and hope for all the men in our armed services who are far away from home on this Christmas night. The wish that someday soon we'll all be together.
I know a song that says just that.
Will you sing it for us, Gordon?
Mm-hmm. From all of us to all of you, wherever you are.
Oh, have yourself a merry little Christmas. Let your heart be light. Next year all our troubles will be out of sight. A merry little Christmas. Make the Yuletide gay. Next year all our troubles will be miles away. Once again, as in olden days, happy golden days of yours, faithful friends who were dear to us will be near to us. fates allow. Until then, we'll have to muddle through somehow. So have yourself a merry little Christmas now.
Norman Luboff and his fine choir have been making beautiful music for us all year long. But since all our musicals seem to take place in mythical kingdoms or on Long Island, they never get a chance to sing any of those wonderful old English carols. Well, sir, today it's different. Norman, ladies and gentlemen of the choir, the Christmas microphone is all yours.
Christmas, my true love gave to me a partridge in a pear tree. On the second day of Christmas, my true love gave to me two turtle doves and a partridge in a pear tree. On the third day of Christmas, my true love gave to me three French hens, two turtle doves and a partridge in a pear tree. On the fourth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me four calling birds, three French hens, two turtle doves, and a partridge in a pear tree.
On the fifth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me four calling birds, three French hens, two turtle doves, and a partridge in a pear tree.
On the sixth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me six geese a-laying,
four calling birds,
three French hens, two turtle doves, and a partridge in a pear tree.
On the seventh day of Christmas, my true love gave to me seven swans a-swimming, six geese a-laying,
four calling birds,
three French hens,
two turtle doves, and a partridge in a pear tree.
On the eighth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me eight legs of milking, seven swans a swimming, six geese a laying,
four calling birds,
three French hens,
two turtle doves, and a partridge in a pear tree.
On the ninth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me nine piping pipers, eight maids a milking, seven swans a swimming, six geese a laying,
five golden rings,
four calling birds,
three French hens,
two turtle doves,
and a partridge in a pear tree.
On the tenth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me ten ladies dancing, nine pipers piping, eight maids a milking, seven swans a swimming, six geese a laying,
four
calling birds,
three French hens,
two turtle doves,
and a partridge in a pear tree.
seventh day of Christmas, my true love gave to me. You have a boy to live in ten,
ladies and gentlemen,
nine, five, and five, and eight,
three, three, and seven,
seven, seven, swans, and perfect six,
these are
lame.
Birthday, French hens, two turtle doves, and a partridge in a pear tree. On the 12th day of Christmas, my true love gave to me 12 birthday,
Friends, we're joining hands for a Christmas party clear across the country. And on this festive night, we're happy to have this message from Mr. William T. Farrisee, president of the Association of American Railroads, who joins our coast-to-coast family party in Washington, D.C.
Christmas is the season when men and women turn from strife and struggle toward the blessings of peace and the fellowship which someday will bring all men together as friends. This is the goal which men have sought for almost 2,000 years, which no doubt they will continue to seek for years yet to come. No man, no institution, no people alone can achieve this long-sought goal. But every man, every institution, every people can contribute to the fulfillment of the promise of the first Christmas, peace on earth, goodwill to men. The heart of that seeking for peace and goodwill is in the family, an institution which foreshadows the family of mankind. So Christmas, the festival of peace, is the great family festival celebrated in the homes where families gather. To all such gatherings who might be listening tonight, the family of the Railroad Hour, a family made up not only of those who produce our weekly broadcasts, but also the railroad companies which sponsor them, the million people who as small stockholders own the railroads, and the million and a quarter men and women who work for them. This Railroad Hour family says to you and your family, thank you for joining our Christmas party tonight. And in your own holiday season and in the new year to come, may you find joy, prosperity, and above all, peace.
Thank you, Mr. Farrisee. And Merry Christmas to you and yours and all our dear friends in Washington. Well, here's Marvin Miller. Say, Marv, are you having a good Christmas?
Oh, I sure am, Gordon. But you know, Christmas is for kids. Maybe that's why I've never grown up.
And I'll tell you what. I'll show you my Buck Rogers disintegrator if you let me play with your Roy Rogers lasso.
It's a deal.
All of which proves that Toyland is the magic land. And the Yuletide season gives us all a chance to be citizens of the Never Never World. Lucy, will you transport us to Toyland?
Clear the track. Next stop, Toyland.
Oh,
Thank you, Lucille. That was wonderful. Folks, because Christmas is for children, we want to include a famous story about Christmas for all the kids around our Railroad Hour tree. You might call this a short musical or an opera in a nutshell. One of the world's greatest composers, Peter Ilyich Tchaikovsky, was the first man to tell this story, and I want to do it just what I'll bet he did. I'm going to take a little girl up on my knee and tell her the fabulous Christmas fairy tale set to music, The Nutcracker Suite.
Now it's the Christmas season, let us all be jolly. Lift up your voices and celebrate the holiday. Sing ye the Christmas carols, evergreen and holly. Ring out the joyous bells that sound to great this Christmas day.
Those are the carolers who used to go from house to house in the old world, bringing Christmas cheer and songs to all the people.
Well, couldn't they just turn on the radio and get Christmas music?
They didn't have radios in those days. This is a once upon a time story, remember? Why, it happened even before your mother was a little girl.
Gee, did they have Christmas presents that long ago?
Presents? Why, the stockings were just loaded with gifts. Come and look at them.
See the lovely gifts for the children.
A doll that really cries.
See,
she opens up her eyes.
To give a little Christmas girl a wonderful surprise.
Father Christmas loves all the children.
A soldier with a gun. See,
a stocking full of fun. A tree that's loaded high with precious gifts for everyone. Except.
Except who?
Except a poor little girl named Marie. You see, her family didn't have enough money to buy Marie even a single present.
Not even a comic book?
Not even that. Well, you can imagine how sad Marie's mama was when she looked at the green branches of the Christmas tree without a single thing underneath.
Poor Marie.
But then her mother had an idea. She gave her the only gift she could find. An old nutcracker.
A nutcracker?
Mm-hmm. For cracking nuts. It was shaped just like a man. His jaws would open and close and crack the nuts in between his teeth.
That sounds like a nice present.
Well, Marie thought so. But when she showed it to the other children, they just laughed at her. And some boys took the nutcracker away from her and broke it. So Marie came back home on Christmas night and cried herself to sleep.
Poor little Marie.
Ah, but along about midnight, she woke up. With a start. She heard a strange noise downstairs. So she put on her bathrobe and slipped on her slippers and went down to see what was happening.
Stalking, down the creaky stairs. Softly, softly, is your present there?
Oh, Nutcracker was there all right. But he was being attacked by a whole army of mice. Platoons of mice, battalions of mice, whole regiments of mice. And their king was in command, a big gray mouse with a long gray mustache. Nutcracker was all alone against them.
Wasn't he scared?
Scared? Not on your life.
Nutcracker is not afraid of mice. Nutcracker will bite them in his vise. He'll break him like a hickory nut and make the king of mice give up and sign a truce. But what's the use of taking this abuse? Oh, Nutcracker will fight the king of mice. Nutcracker will make him pay the price for mousing up the Christmas toys and scaring little girls and boys, for taking up and breaking up the holiday of joy.
But how could Nutcracker fight when he was broken?
He couldn't. He was as brave as a lion, but his jaw just wouldn't work. He did the best he could, but the mice were too much for him. They pounced on poor Nutcracker. He tried to beat them off, but they backed him up against the wall. The king of mice was charging down on him. And what do you think Marie did?
She covered up her eyes.
Not on your life. She slipped off her bedroom slipper and threw it at the king of mice. And the mice were so surprised that they all scampered away with their tails dragging behind them.
I was worried there for a minute.
And suddenly, like magic, the most wonderful thing happened. before Marie's eyes, Nutcracker changed himself into a handsome prince. And he took little Marie by the hand and said, "Because you have been my heroine, because you have loved me with all the goldness of your heart, even when I was a funny, broken old nutcracker, I'm going to take you to the land where all the toys in the world will belong to you. Come, little princess."
Where are we?
This is the magic land where all the toys live.
Who winds them up?
Oh, they don't have to be wound up because they're all alive. Look, they want you to dance with them.
I think I'd like that.
Come along and dance with me around the Christmas tree, for here beneath the holly you will find a lot of jolly boys. Everyone belongs to you, and they will sing their song to you with lemon drops and lollipops for little golden girls and boys. Round around the tree they go, dancing beneath the mistletoe. Tra la la la, 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 tra la
la la. Hey! Oh, I've never had so much fun.
Well, this is only the start of it. Look.
Where?
Right over there.
Oh, that must be the queen of this country. The silver on her wings and the jewels in her hair.
Don't you know who that is? That's the Sugar Plum Fairy. Miss Marie, meet the Sugar Plum Fairy. Sugar Plum Fairy, meet Marie.
I'm very pleased to know you, Miss Sugar Plum Fairy.
Welcome to the land of sugar plums, little ones. Fill your tongues, everybody come. To enjoy the Christmas holiday, come and play, pass away all the happy day. No one here will tell you what to do, what to do, what to you would be fun to do. It's a fine day, dance and dine day, sunny shine day for you. Are you having a good time, child?
Oh, yes, Miss Sugar Plum.
I think the Oriental doll would like to do a dance for you.
That sounds exciting.
Look. Instruments in our toy orchestra have asked to meet you.
Oh, I've always wanted to meet a musical instrument.
Then may I present the two flute brothers, Melody and Harmony. They want to have a little conversation with you.
I'd like that very much. Tell me, gentlemen, how is everything in the orchestra? You don't say. How interesting. I never would have believed it. Why, the same to you and a Happy New Year.
Now, just a minute. You mean to tell me that you could understand what those flutes were saying?
Every word.
You know why?
It must be magic or something.
No, Marie. Not magic. Because you have a loving heart. And for a little girl who has a loving heart, no matter where she lives, the world around her is always the land of the Sugar Plum Fairy. And if she is brave and good, the dolls will dance for her, the flutes will flirt with her, and every nutcracker can be a handsome prince.
Oh, I can hardly wait for next Christmas to come.
You don't have to wait, my dear. Don't you know that Father Christmas has given all of us presents to last the whole year round?
What presents?
The flowers. Every time a blossom opens, it reminds us that the spirit of loving isn't meant to flower only at Christmas, but every day of the year.
That's why the flowers dance in our garden.
How can flowers dance? Their feet are fastened in the ground.
Why, haven't you ever seen them?
They're waltzing all the time.
See all the flowers dance. They spend their hours romancing.
Where the bee pays a thing for me.
Ladies and gentlemen, today we're all sharing the warm, friendly spirit of Christmas, a great holiday based on the faith which inspired our free institutions. Yes, men with faith in our American way of life made this country what it is, and its future depends largely upon what you and I and everybody does to strengthen our democratic form of government. And so, during the days ahead, let's remember, freedom is everybody's job. We're so happy you joined us for our Railroad Hour Christmas party. And on behalf of the American Railroads and all the members of our company, Lucille Norman, Carmen Dragon, all of his fine musicians, Norman Luboff and all his singers, Ann Whitfield, the little girl, our producer, our technicians, our writers, a happy, happy holiday. And God bless you, everyone. Next week, a special New Year's Day program, reviewing in words and music the highlights of this year of 1950.
All aboard!
Well, friends, it looks as though we're ready to pull out once again. And so until next week, goodbye.
Portions of the preceding program were transcribed. Gordon MacRae can be seen starring in the Warner Brothers production, The West Point Story. Tonight's script and special lyrics for the Tchaikovsky music were written by Lawrence and Lee. Our choir is under the direction of Norman Luboff, and our music is prepared and conducted by Carmen Dragon. This is Marvin Miller saying goodbye until next week for the American Railroads. And now keep tuned to your Monday night of music on NBC.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
You're listening to the Old Time Radio Hour, broadcast each week over the World Wide Web with your host, Justine Ward. Next, we have a classic sketch from The Bickersons, a sitcom about a married couple that almost managed to get along. This amusing sketch is from an incomplete show, but I think you will enjoy it all the same. It's Christmas Eve, and there is still a lot of work to do on The Bickersons, first broadcast December 24th, 1947, on CBS.
Now, here are Don Ameche and Francis Langford as John and Blanche Bickerson in The Honeymoon is Over. It's Christmas Eve, and the Bickersons have not retired. Mrs. Bickerson is busy wrapping presents in the bedroom, while husband John, exhausted as he is from the pre-holiday activity, puts the finishing touches to the tree, which stands proudly in the kitchen, the only other room in the Bickersons' small apartment. Listen.
John! John! Will you bring the scissors, please? John! What is he doing in there? How can a man fall asleep on a ladder? I haven't got the heart to wake him. I'd better get him off of there. John! John!
What's the matter, Bryce? What happened?
Oh, you poor dear. Did you hurt yourself?
No, I'm all right. How'd I fall off that ladder? I must have fainted.
Yes, dear. You were fainting like a log when I came in. Why, John!
What?
You never even touched your dinner. Not a morsel of it.
I don't like the looks of it, Blanche.
Oh, stop that talk. It's perfectly good food. You let it sit there on the kitchen table for hours getting cold. Do you want me to warm it up for you?
No. Just tell me what's on that big plate.
Are you trying to be funny, John?
I'm not trying to be funny, Blanche. What is it?
You know very well I can only cook two things, liver and rice pudding.
Well, which one is that?
Be so nasty on Christmas Eve, John.
Blanche, I just asked you a civil question, that's all. I didn't think it was liver because your liver always looks like rubber heels. That stuff looks more like scrambled eggs, so I thought it might be rice pudding.
Why don't you taste it and find out?
I'm not hungry.
That's why you're always tired, John. You don't eat enough.
I eat plenty.
What'd you have for lunch today?
Oh, you ought to know. You packed it for me. And listen, Blanche, I'm getting sick of carrying my lunch to the office in paper sacks. Why can't I go to a restaurant like the other
people? John, what are you talking about? I haven't fixed your lunch for 2 years.
Oh, Blanche, every morning of my life I find my lunch wrapped in brown paper on the side of the sink.
Lunch? That's the kitchen scrap.
No wonder I never have an appetite. Why do you do that to me, Blanche?
Go on, eat some dinner and finish trimming the tree.
I don't want any dinner. I want to go to sleep.
Aren't you going
to
finish the tree?
I can do it in the morning.
But, John, tomorrow morning is Christmas Day. I expect a lot of people to drop in. The butcher's coming and the milkman is
coming. Listen, Blanche, I can't afford to give those guys presents. Why did you invite them over?
I didn't invite them. They're coming here to collect their bills.
Bills? What bills? I gave you money for the bills.
Well, I had to buy presents, didn't I? My sister Clara sent me a package, and I had to get her something in return.
No, you didn't. Nobody asked her to send you anything.
Well, she did just the same. So I bought her a bottle of perfume.
How much was that?
$24.
$24? But nobody can carry that much perfume.
It's only an ounce, silly. It's the latest perfume. Very daring. It's called Perhaps.
Perhaps? For $24, you should get Positively.
Crabby, John. We're not going to fight on Christmas Eve, no matter what happens. Remember, you promised.
Okay.
I'm not even going to get mad because you didn't send me a Christmas card.
I did send you a Christmas card.
It isn't necessary to make excuses or alibis, John. I'm going to forget it entirely.
I don't have to make excuses. I did send you a Christmas card. I mailed it 5 days ago.
John, you promised you wouldn't shout.
Well, then why are you goading me like this? You know, I wouldn't say I sent you a Christmas card unless I had.
I never received it.
Well, then it got lost in the mail.
That's possible.
Thank heaven.
All the other cards came.
That doesn't mean anything. One card can get lost, can it?
If you sent it.
I did send it. I swear I sent it. It had a wonderful poem on it. A beautiful picture. It was trimmed with lace. Cost me $1.
All right, John.
But do you believe me?
Let's not discuss it anymore.
Okay.
But I hope you don't forget to send one next year.
What's the use? All right, so I didn't send you a card.
That's all? Why didn't you admit it before?
There was nothing to admit. I just said I didn't send it to end the argument, but I really sent it.
What did it say on it?
It said, Merry Christmas to my love.
That could be anybody.
Let me finish. It said, Merry Christmas to my love, my wife, my life, my turtle dove. Life with you is great, it seems. I love you more than pork and beans.
You're only adding insult to injury, John.
Well, how do I know what it said? I can't remember what... What's that laying on top of the newspaper? There it is. There's my card.
So it is. See, you didn't have to get so excited after all. Thank you, darling. It's a lovely card.
Wear it in good health. Well, let's open the presents and then go to sleep.
Well, how could you, John? You know we never open presents until Christmas morning. Besides, you haven't finished trimming the tree.
All it needs is a string of lights. One of the bulbs is blown, that kills the whole string.
Can't you buy a bulb?
The stores aren't open now. What time is it?
It's 12:05.
Well, that's good. It's Christmas Day. Let's open the presents.
You didn't even hang up your stocking.
I haven't got one that would hold anything. They look like lace curtains. Come on, let's open the presents, Blanche. Come on, huh?
Oh, all right.
Say, we haven't got very many this year, have we? Oh, who's this from?
That's from Leo Goosby. It's amazing how you went to the one shaped like a bottle.
Oh, is that what it is? I hope it's good stuff. That's not bad at all.
John, that shampoo.
Shampoo? Why, that chiseler, two-bit Leo. What do I want with a bottle of shampoo? And to think I threw out 39 cents on a tie for him. What have you got there?
It's another present for you. From your boss.
No kidding. Gee, that's a big one. What is it, Blanche?
A 5-gallon can of lighter fluid.
Well, that's fine. That's just what I need. I don't even own a lighter.
Well, don't feel too bad, John. Maybe you can exchange it for something else.
Last year, he sent me a bowling ball case. Must get these things in a rummage sale. I never heard of that present.
Here's one for me, from Louise Shaw.
Phew, that's a dilly.
Oh, Louise always sends something nice. Not expensive, but it usually comes in handy. Well, look at that.
What is it?
It's a polo score pad. Isn't that nice?
That'll sure come in handy. Honest, Blanche, you got the weirdest collection of friends. Is there anything else?
Just our presents to each other. Why don't you look at what I got you first, and then you can show me what you got for me. Now, close your eyes. I'll unveil it.
Well, all right. I hope you didn't spend too much, dear. I don't really want anything.
Open your eyes.
Blanche. Oh, Blanche, darling. Why, that's beautiful. That's a dream. A portable bar with a brass rail.
Don't you think a kiss is in order, John?
Oh, a million kisses.
Well, stop kissing the bar. I meant a kiss for me.
Oh. I'm sorry, darling. It's just too good to be true. Oh, you're wonderful. Blanche, that must have cost a fortune.
John, don't get angry, but I sold my fur coat.
You sold your fur coat?
I wanted you to have the bar, and I didn't have the money.
You sold your coat? That beautiful fur coat that you bought yourself for my birthday. Gorgeous bald mink.
I got $75 for it. The bar cost $85.
Oh, Blanche, you never should have sold that bald mink.
It doesn't matter. I have a cloth coat and I never get cold.
Yeah, but you don't understand. Open the present I got for you.
I can't wait, John. Oh, a muff. A fur muff.
Genuine pluck skunk. I had it made especially to match that coat. It can hold 2 full quarts. You sold the coat.
Well, what's the difference, darling? Someday you'll make a lot of money, and then you'll be able to have a coat that'll match them up. I'm very happy, John.
I know, but...
And you still have the gorgeous bar.
Yeah, that's just this.
What's the matter?
I sold all my bourbon to pay for the muff. It's great, isn't it? What a break for both of us.
I think it's wonderful, John.
What do you mean, Blanche?
I've never been so happy in my life. We both made a sacrifice, and that's worth more than all the gold and precious jewels in the world. Just to know that you gave up a prized possession is proof enough that you love me.
I've always loved you, Blanche. I may holler and rant and act like a first-class crumb sometimes. But you never doubted that I loved you, did you?
No, John.
It's been 7 years, honey. Most of it uphill. I haven't showered you with diamonds or bought any yachts. I try not to deny anything. I suppose you have your little faults. What woman hasn't? Or what man either, for that matter. We're both pretty sensitive people. Maybe that's why we beef so much. Still, I don't think we're any worse than any other married couple.
least we have a safety valve and we can let off steam. Some of the others just carry it inside until the break comes. Now, Blanche, I like it this way. And I love you more than anything on earth.
John.
Cut that out. I'll prove how much I love you. Where is that liver, or rice pudding, or whatever it is you made?
It's liver.
I'll eat every bit of it if it kills me. Let's go.
Merry Christmas, darling.
Merry Christmas.
Here's a 15-minute show from Vic and Sade, with its customary gentle humor on the topic of Russia's Christmas allowance. This is Vic and Sade, first broadcast December 15th, 1941, on NBC.
Hello there. Get ready to smile again with radio's home folks, Vic and Sade. Vic and Sade, written by Paul Reimer, is brought to you each weekday by the makers of the new Sure Mix Crisco. Do you have a son in the service who will spend the coming holiday season away from you in an army camp or aboard a Navy cruiser? Well, I'll bet he'll be pretty lonesome for some of his mom's swell cooking. And maybe you know some other boys in the service, too, who'd love to have their holidays brightened by a big gift package of good things to eat. Believe me, you'll get three rousing cheers if you'll send along a box full of crunchy, delicious homemade cookies. And listen, in order to help you make up a real surprise package, we're offering you a quick, easy, new recipe for Crisco holiday cookies. And listen, in order to help you make up a real surprise package, we're offering you this quick, easy, new recipe for these Crisco holiday cookies. Oh, this amazing cookie recipe doesn't just tell you how to make one kind of cookies. Oh, no. It gives you directions for three delicious varieties, all from just one batter. You get about 50 cookies in three varieties from one magical batter. Why, there's rich chocolate fudge squares with pecans. Then there's coconut fruit macaroons loaded with candied fruits. But I'll bet the frosted mincemeat bars will be the favorites. And these Crisco cookies are so easy to make. You don't roll out your dough or chill it. Just spread it in a pan and bake. Then cut into squares, bars, or diamond shapes. Believe me, you'll want a couple of big batches of these cookies, one for your own cookie jar and the other for the boys in the service. So today, get a can of pure, all-vegetable Crisco and your free recipe for Crisco's holiday cookies. Just look for the Crisco display card at your store, then help yourself to the recipe attached. Oh, on that same recipe form, you'll find a couple of other tasty surprises, too. A recipe for spicy, rich mincemeat cupcakes, and one for delicious pumpkin pie with Crisco's sensational new pastry method for flaky tender pie crust. If your dealer hasn't received his supply of recipes yet, he will shortly. And remember, stock up with pure, all-vegetable Crisco. Well, sir, our scene doesn't open at the small house halfway up in the next block today. Instead, we take you to Mr. Victor Gook's modest office at the Consolidated Kitchenware Company, plant number 14. Vic appears to have a visitor, and the visitor is saying,
"Since this is business and strictly business, I thought I'd keep it on a business basis."
"Discuss it at my place of business, sir."
"Exactly."
"Well, fire away."
"I'm not interfering with your work."
"No. There's a lull in this occupation that is known as the children's hour."
"How you mean?"
"Nothing. Papa waxes witty as all."
"Oh.
Shoot, what's on your mind?"
"Christmas present money."
"Uh-huh. I had a foreboding just the other day I'd be approached on that matter shortly."
"Well, Christmas is getting close."
"No doubt about it. How much do you require?"
"A thumping big sum."
$7,000? "You consider me a comical fella, huh?"
"Yeah."
"I am a gay dog. Very popular with my friends on account of the funny things I say."
"Uh-huh.
How much do you want to stick me for?"
$25.
"Hey, hey.
I appreciate it. It's a huge amount. Took my breath away, too, when I arrived at that figure. But, Gov, I've shaved it down as close as I could. See, the point is, I'm getting older every year. People expect regular Christmas presents as a fella gets older. I can't get by with giving little kid stuff anymore. Looks ridiculous from a fella 14 years old. I came to your office this afternoon, Gov, to speak straight from the shoulder and ask your man..."
"One moment, Margaret. My telephone."
"Go ahead."
"Yes? Mr. Hudson?" "Okay, Miss Hammersweet, put him on."
"Don't let me interfere with any business you may be transacting, Doc."
"Quite all right."
"I won't stay but a few minutes."
"Stick around." "Yes, Hudson? Which invoice is you referring to?" "Oh, no, I think I'd contact Plant 17 on that, Hudson. Fuss is the fella to get in touch with. Gus Fuss. Don't you know him? Uh-huh. Well, he's a good scout. He'll give you all the dope you want on those invoices. Yeah. Okay, Hudson. Okay.
You certainly do transact business, don't you?
All the day's work.
I'd like to bring Bluetooth Johnson and some of the guys down here sometime and let them watch you transact business.
You haven't seen anything. This afternoon's been very slow. There's days when that telephone rings and don't stop ringing. And this office is crowded with as many as 5 people all trying to talk to me at once.
Is that a fact?
Sure. What were you saying, Pete?
I came to your office this afternoon, Gov, to speak straight from the shoulder and ask you man to man if you don't think a fellow my age ought to give his friends and relations regular gifts at Christmas time.
You spoke that piece from memory. Didn't you?
Yeah.
Speak it again.
I came to your office this afternoon, Gov, to speak straight from the shoulder and ask you man to man if you don't think a fellow my age ought to give his friends and relations regular gifts at Christmas time.
Yeah. Very good.
There's more.
Oh?
I have here in my pocket a document listing the names of those to whom I feel Christmas presents should be sent. With your permission, I propose to submit this document and request that you give it close examination.
You write that out and memorize it?
Yeah.
Not a bad speech. State your case in clear, concise language. I beg your indulgence once again, Harry.
Go ahead.
Yes? Ms. Cook? All right, Miss Hammerstreet.
Don't tell her I'm here.
Beg pardon?
Don't tell Mom I'm here. She don't like me hanging around your office.
Okay.
Figures I make a nuisance of myself, I guess.
Uh-huh. Hello there, Dr. Sleech. Can you wait just a second? There's a pretty girl sitting on my knee, and I can't get the receiver up to my ear and she... How are you, kiddo? Pray, what is your idea disturbing me at my office? When, this evening? Not that I know of. Suit you, suit me, Mr. Spooner. Okay, tell him to come on ahead. Sure. Sure. Is Rush home? Uh-huh. Well, when he gets home, tell him I'm going to thrash him within an inch of his life. Because he's the wickedest, headstrong boy, that's why. Okay, Sadie. You bet. Oh, usual time. Okay, kiddo. So long. Mr. and Miss Stembottom want to get an early start playing 500 this evening.
Oh.
Sadie's a good boy.
Yeah.
Where were we in our discussion here?
I was going to show you this list of names.
Uh-huh.
See how long it is?
Yes.
It's longer every year. One of the penalties a fella has to pay for growing old.
Uh-huh.
Alongside each name, I have an amount of money written down. That represents the sum I figure I ought to spend on that particular party.
Mm-hmm.
The list, you'll notice, starts off with Mom.
So it does.
$8.
A young fortune.
Yes, it is, but doggone it, Gov, I don't see how I can get by for less. I think Mom's got a decent Christmas present from me coming.
Mm-hmm.
I'd hate to spend one single penny less than $8 for anything I'd buy for Mom.
Mm-hmm. Are there any more $8 items?
No, that's far and away the biggest single amount. There's a few $2 and $3 items and $1 $5 item, but this $8 item is in a class by itself.
I see. Who rates the $5 Christmas present?
You do.
Well, may I explain?
Uncle Walter, $2 present. Aunt Bess, $2 present. Uncle Fletcher, $3 present. Those are the big guns. Those three and you and Mom kill $20 right there. Only leaves $5 for Cousin Yuncy and my Sunday school teacher and my many friends. No, Gov, I've shaved her down. I've shaved her down to rock bottom. I realize $25 is a whopping big chunk of money.
Tut, tut, Mr. Telephone.
Go ahead.
Yes? Mr. Willis? All right, put him on. Chicago.
Oh, long distance?
The company's own private wire. Yes, Willis? Oh, fine as silk, thanks. New? Uh-huh. Baby get over that sick spell all right? Well, that's good. Which consignment? Well, didn't anybody from the shop here wise you up on that? Well, somebody should have. I believe that's in Ike Niestoffer's lap. Well, I'll check, Willers. Yeah. No, it's all right. Held up 3 days in Toledo, Ohio is all. Yeah, delivered this morning. Yeah, they shot us a wire. Yeah. Okay, Willis. Going to be down this way soon, you think? Ha-ha. Well, don't take any wooden nickels. Okay, Willis. Bye.
You sure do transact business.
Oh, it's very slow today.
I'd just like to bring Bluetooth Johnson down here sometime and let him watch you transact business.
Sure.
There she goes again, by George.
Yes? Who, Miss Hammersweet? Mr. Guppa. Oh, Mr. Gutstock. Sure, put him on, Hank. He's a corker, that guy. Had somebody else call my office. I can hear the billiard balls knock against each other down at the Lazy Irish pool parlor. You'd think Hank was some hotshot executive with a private secretary the way... yes, Hank. Old cat kick, I guess. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Temporarily cut short, huh?
He hitting you for money, too?
Yeah. Oh, I guess I can spare a couple of bucks, Hank. Yeah. All right. No, I'll be here the rest of the afternoon. Send the special messenger, huh? Okay. Okay, Hank. Not at all. Bye. He's quite a sharp operator. Borrowed two berries off a fella and sends a special messenger around to collect it.
Huh.
I expect he's involved in a critical game of bottle pool. Can't spare the time to come himself. Your mother doesn't approve of Hank, and I'd just as soon she didn't know her.
Oh, I wouldn't mention it around home.
Might be just as well if you didn't.
Oh, I wouldn't say anything.
Where do we leave off in our interview?
Oh, I was saying that my Christmas present for you and Mom and Uncle Walter and Aunt Bess and Uncle Fletcher eat up $20 alone. Only leaves $5 to be divided among this great big long list of friends. I figure I ought to buy Yuncy a dollar present, and I figure I ought to buy Miss Nagel, my Sunday school teacher, a 4-bit present. That only leaves $3.50 for Bluetooth Johnson, Smelly Clark, Leland Richards, Rooster Davis, Leroy Snow, Vernon Peggles, Willis Rohrbeck, Milton Welch, and Heine Call. See, Guff, even with $25 to start with, I'll only have $3.50 left to buy presents for Bluetooth Johnson, Smelly Clark, Leland Richards, Rooster Davis, Leroy Snow, Vernon Peggles, Willis Rohrbeck.
I believe I see eye to eye with you, Harry.
What?
I'm disposed to accept your bill of goods.
You'll...
Yep.
The whole amount?
Yep. Of course, you'll have to give me a day or two's grace to scare up the money.
By George, Gov, I don't know how to...
Telephone's ringing. Yes? Mr. Burroughs, tell him to sit down. I'll be free in just a few minutes. Yeah.
Somebody waiting to see you?
Yeah.
Well, I better go.
No hurry.
Oh, I might just as well go, I guess.
Suit yourself.
You, didn't mind my buttonholing you here in your office?
Not at all.
It was business and strictly business, and I thought I'd keep it on a business basis.
Surely.
And, Gov, I can't begin to tell you how much
Forget it.
No, but doggone it, when I think what a high-class father...
Telephone is ringing. Yes? Not this afternoon, I'm afraid, Miss Hammersweet. No, from now on till 5 o'clock, I'll be completely tied up. Tell him I can see him tomorrow morning. Yes. All right.
Golly, how you transact the business.
Sure.
No, but you do.
Nothing in the world.
Well, guess I'll be going.
All right. It was a very pleasant interview. Shake hands.
Sure.
Come back again.
I will. Goodbye.
Goodbye, sir.
Which concludes another brief interlude at that small house halfway up in the next block. But be sure to come along when we visit Vic and Save the next time. This is Ed Hurley speaking.
Do you want your stockings to wear and wear and wear? Well, I'll tell you what it takes. Avery Flakes, nightly care with Avery Flakes. Helps end runners. Why, you should just see the wonderful stocking wear women are getting with Avery Flakes care. 250, 295, even more than 330 hours of wear from a single pair. Now, long wear like that would interest you, I know. What with silk stockings getting scarcer?
Yes, and here's how these women got such wonderful wear. They followed Ivory Flakes' easy rules. Listen, do wash your stockings every night. Don't let them pile up. Do use lukewarm suds of pure Ivory Flakes. Don't use hot water or strong soaps. Do wash your stockings gently. Don't rub. We promise this Easy Care Every Night will help your stockings wear longer. You know, 9 out of 10 leading makers of America's most famous stockings advise nightly washing with new Double Quick Ivory Flakes for both their silks and their nylons.
So, help stop wrongs before they start. Now take heart, do your part. Ivory Flakes each night are smart. Well, what I mean is, that way you'll help your stockings to wear and wear and wear.
You have been listening to the Old Time Radio Hour broadcast each week over the World Wide Web. You can subscribe at no charge through Apple Podcasts, Podbean, or RSS. We'll end our broadcast with a Christmas card in sound. For you fans of Old Time Radio, here is a Christmas card in sound.
Merry, Merry Christmas, everyone.
And a great big Merry Christmas to all of you from Edgar Bergen.
And a child size from Charlie McCarthy.
You know that to many of you, it won't really seem like Christmas this year with your loved ones so far away. But there are many things to be grateful for.
And we hope and pray that a year from now, we will all be able to celebrate a Christmas when there is really peace on earth.
Good night, folks.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
This is Riley, alias William Bendix. All of us, Peg, Babs, Junior, and Digger, are happy to be with you in this warm and wonderful holiday season. A very Merry Christmas.
For millions of war victims all over the world, it isn't a very merry one, which makes us doubly appreciative of our own blessings.
Among which we count the friendship of all of you who have been so loyal to us these many years.
Merry Christmas to you.
And good night, all.
Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of my sponsor and my entire cast, I want to wish everybody a very Merry Christmas.
And Merry Christmas to you all. God bless you.
I have food and warm clothes and even toys for the kids at Christmas time, thanks to the Lone Ranger.
A Merry Christmas to you all.
That goes for me, too. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Ding, if you could ask Santa for anything, what would it be? The fellows here at Sawtell and in all of Uncle Sam's hospitals could have their health back. How about you, Robert?
Well, when old Santa visits the mothers and wives and children of the fellows who didn't come back, I'd like to ask him to fill every stocking so full of Christmas cheer that there's enough left over to fill the empty place in every heart. Good night. Merry Christmas, folks. Merry Christmas.
And I'm Justine Ward, your host of the Old Time Radio Hour. Have a very Merry Christmas.
Happy Holidays. Happy Holidays. While the merry bells